Can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. McInerney in International Relations. Adding one more capital this week because of an odd remark by the President of the United States using the metaphor of Armageddon. The facts are Armageddon represents a historical twist used for, several thousand years. Megiddo is a site in northern Israel. You can visit it. It's at a crossroads. It is said to be the site of a battle that took place between Egypt and other forces long before we were a civilization to reflect upon what does the end look like. And therefore, it was seen as a struggle between a pharaoh and his adversaries. The name, however, in parlance in the 20th century and now in the 21st century, has come to be associated with nuclear weapons. And President Biden, in a remark, I'm told, to fundraising audience, rapt and very attentive, no conflict whatsoever, referenced Armageddon in Europe, possibility. One president, Macron, said that he doesn't engage in political fiction. He said it in French very cleverly, but he was not happy with the remark. Other leaders are commenting very gingerly because this is the President of the United States. However, Professor, I'm eager for your thoughts, just momentarily, about President Biden, the Commander-in-Chief, who has the power of the DEFCONs, using the word Armageddon during a conflict where the adversary has been loose-lipped about nuclear weapons. What do we take from this?
Well, what I would take from it is something that we already know, which is that Mr. Biden is not at the top of his game, that he doesn't have the kind of understanding of the many dimensions of this conflict that one would wish for in a president of the United States, and that specifically he has been trying from the start to avoid World War III. And in many ways, to say he's trying to avoid World War III or Armageddon is to make too much of what's going on in Ukraine, serious as it is. And to talk about Armageddon when the Russians are speculating about, when Putin is speculating about using tactical nuclear weapons, which are not the sort of thing this is not Bikini Atoll or something that we're talking about, the massive weapons. These are essentially nuclear equivalents of weapons for which we have conventional counterparts, that he in a way is allowing this nuclear threat to trigger in him an irrational fear of what could happen if the Russians did use tactical nuclear weapons. Now, I'm appalled by the fact that the Russians are even talking about such things. I'm even more appalled by the Russians than I am by Mr. Biden's reaction. But I think Macron is right that this is really fictionalizing, this is over-elaborating the whole thing. If they use some tactical nuclear weapons, this will be a terrible thing, but it will not affect the outcome of the war, because this is not a war in which nuclear weapons are useful. What are useful are well-organized, well-supplied troops having high morale, who have commanders who have some idea of what they're doing. So I'm not so worried. But I think that what the Russians are really, what they're trying to do is to take advantage of this fear of Biden and get him to think, oh, my God, if I let those Ukrainians win, then the Russians are going to use nuclear weapons, then the whole thing is just going to go up and we'll have world war. And I think the Russians are hoping that they will therefore lead Mr. Biden to be terrified and to cut back the American support for Ukraine and get us more on the Russian side, or whatever the side is that is strongly in favor of somehow limiting the war and, above all, limiting the victory.
Professor, just a detail here. Mr. Biden spoke in a fashion that is suggestive that this word has been used around him. How do you hear it? You know, people tend to pick up things when they're hearing conversations. It's a metaphorical word. It isn't a commander's word. It isn't a detail word, as you just made the distinction between a tactical nuke and a strategic nuke. The difference between a battlefield weapon with a limited range, although, you know, damaging, but a
very damaging
strategic weapon is a city killer, and that would lead to escalation immediately. The speculation now is that a tactical nuke will not lead to nuclear exchange immediately, that the response would be conventional by NATO. That's the speculation now. So do you measure that Mr. Biden's use of the word was purposeful?
No, I don't think it was purposeful. I think he's simply free associating, and he's picking up words that are in the air. And given the fact that really none of the people around him is tempered by the actual experience of war or by the experience of command in war and the terrible fear and destruction that's associated with war, I think there's a lot of talk about just how ghastly nuclear war would be, and it would be. But I think that Mr. Petraeus had a very, to me, a very sensible comment, which is that, he didn't say it, but I think that the Biden administration is on the right track when they think of first of the possibility of simply removing Mr. Putin. I'm told we have the capability of doing this, but I'm not sure how, and I don't really believe it. But I think that if Putin disappeared, a political crisis would ensue in Russia. There's no way of getting around that. But remember that Russia's interest, her economic interests, her political interests, all of her interests are really in a better relationship with the West. And this sort of fantasy of Holy Mother Russia or whatever it is that Mr. Putin holds does not serve the interests at all of the ordinary Russian people. What Mr. Petraeus said was that if they used a tactical nuclear weapons, then we should take out, quote, every Russian conventional force that we can identify on the battlefield in Ukraine and also in Crimea, and every ship in the Black Sea. And that's something that we can do, given our tremendous advantage in precision-guided munitions and stealth aircraft, in our ability to gather intelligence from the air and from outer space and so forth. We could destroy the Russian forces that are now in Ukraine and do that just using high explosive. That would be the most appropriate reaction. It would be the one that would not lead to escalation.
Professor, just a detail here. I understand one remark doesn't make a theory in any fashion. But at this point, do you sense that the White House is keen on de-escalating. In other words, finding, they've also used the metaphor of an off-ramp. Or do you think that's posturing? Just here, we just have a minute. I wondered your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm struck. I obviously don't listen constantly to what the White House is saying, but this business about de-escalation really goes back to the Secretary of State many months ago when the war began, when it probably would have been a good idea in retrospect to hit the Russians hard and defeat them early on. But I do not think that our government is now looking for a way to terminate. Quite the contrary, I think they're starting to realize that this is going to be a protracted struggle that we have to win. And what I hope is that the psychological power, and it is really only psychological power, of a low yield nuclear weapon should not be allowed to throw us off track. And we should remember that the Russians are targeting the minds of the American decision makers, whom they know have an inordinate fear, if there is such a thing as an inordinate fear of nuclear weapons. They exaggerate. The effect that they would have, the sort that we're talking about. We should be continuing to support the Ukrainians and what they're doing. And as you pointed out, the reduction of the Crimea should begin soon, as long as there is not a sort of nuclear crisis. And something that Washington must also be aware of is that there are many, many other things going on in the world, too. We can't expect the Europeans to know about that. We can't expect the Russians to know about that. But what we have to do is to somehow keep this war confined to Ukraine, win it in Ukraine, and then hope that Mr. Putin is going to leave, which is going to lead to a crisis in Russia. There's nothing we can do about that. We have to be able to tolerate a Russian crisis, but at the same time avoid having it turn into a world crisis. So we go from the details of waterways to the issue of the power of nuclear weapons to the whole global picture, which is being so drastically and dramatically altered by this war.
Professor H. A. McIntyre, International Relations. I'm John Batchelor.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pick up fees may apply.